Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Inside the Criminal Mind by Stanton E. Samenow, in its newly revised edition, is a landmark work in criminal psychology that challenges simple explanations for crime. Drawing on the author's long clinical experience evaluating offenders, the book argues that criminal behavior is best understood through patterns of thinking, choice-making, and character, rather than through a single cause, such as poverty, mental illness, or a broken home. Samenow presents crime as a process that begins with everyday attitudes toward rules, responsibility, and other people, then escalates into habitual rationalizations and calculated violations. The revised edition updates core arguments while keeping the practical, case-based approach that made the book influential among clinicians, corrections professionals, and lay readers interested in why some people repeatedly harm others. Rather than treating offenders as passive products of their environment, the book pushes readers to examine how entitlement, victim stances, and manipulation operate in real life. It also invites a hard look at prevention and change by focusing on accountability and the skills required to live within limits. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, criminal thinking as a pattern of choices, not a single cause. A central theme is that crime cannot be explained well by one factor, such as socioeconomic hardship, peer influence, substance use, or psychological diagnosis. The book emphasizes a pattern. The offender repeatedly makes choices that favor immediate wants over rules, obligations, and the rights of others. This view does not deny that life circumstances matter, but it argues that circumstances do not mechanically produce crime. Two people can face the same adversity and respond differently, and that difference is rooted in how they interpret situations and justify actions. Samenow frames criminality as a style of thinking that develops over time, marked by an early willingness to test limits, disregard correction, and treat rules as obstacles rather than shared agreements. The offender learns to convert everyday frustrations into permission to break norms, then reinforces those decisions through short-term gains such as excitement, status, or material benefit. This approach leads readers to look for repeated decision points rather than searching for a single origin story. It also highlights why some interventions fail. If an offender is treated as a victim of forces, the program may neglect the repeated cognitive and moral choices that keep the behavior going. Secondly, entitlement, power, and the refusal of responsibility. The book describes how many offenders operate from a sense of entitlement that makes exploitation feel justified. Entitlement can be expressed as believing one deserves special treatment, deserves to win, or deserves compensation for perceived slights. When entitlement is paired with a desire for dominance, rules become negotiable and other people become tools. Samenow's analysis stresses that responsibility is not merely admitting wrongdoing after the fact, it is the ongoing discipline of acknowledging obligations before acting. In criminal thinking, responsibility is routinely shifted outward. Blame is placed on parents, partners, bosses, society, the police, or bad luck. Even when an offender admits an action occurred, the admission may be hollow because it is coupled with excuses that preserve a self-image of being clever, mistreated, or forced. This mindset also helps explain repeat offending. If the individual believes consequences are unfair or someone else's fault, there is little internal reason to change. By focusing on responsibility as a skill, the book links accountability to daily habits such as following instructions, respecting boundaries, and tolerating frustration without retaliation. The discussion is especially useful for readers who want to understand why remorse can appear convincing yet fail to translate into consistent, lawful behavior. Thirdly, manipulation, deception, and the victim stance. Another major topic is how offenders often manage impressions to control outcomes. The book explores common tactics such as selective honesty, charm, intimidation, and strategic helplessness. These behaviors are not portrayed as random. They are purposeful strategies to obtain advantage, evade consequences, or maintain power in relationships. A related pattern is the victim stance, in which the offender presents themselves as the one who has been wronged, overlooked, or targeted. The victim stance can be dramatic or subtle, but its function is consistent. It reduces accountability and recruits sympathy or confusion from others. This dynamic is important for families and professionals because it can derail boundaries and undermine supervision. When someone believes the offender's narrative without examining behavior, they may enable further harm through money, housing, or emotional cover. The book's perspective helps readers separate real hardship from the use of hardship as leverage. It also clarifies why confrontation alone is rarely enough. A skilled manipulator may concede minor points, apologize fluently, or blame addiction as the true culprit while continuing to rationalize exploitation. Understanding these patterns supports more effective responses, such as requiring specific behavioral commitments, verifying claims, and focusing on consistent actions over emotional performances. Fourthly, how criminal behavior develops and escalates across life stages. The book presents criminality as a developmental trajectory that often begins with early rule testing and expands as the person gains confidence in getting away with misconduct. Early behaviors may include chronic lying, bullying, theft, defiance, and thrill-seeking. Over time, repeated successes at avoiding consequences can strengthen a belief that rules are for other people and that cleverness outranks character. Samenow's framework emphasizes that escalation is not inevitable, but it becomes more likely when the person interprets each incident as proof of superiority or proof that authorities are illegitimate. The offender may also cultivate a lifestyle that normalizes deceit and shortcuts, forming relationships that reinforce shared rationalizations. Importantly, the book does not treat the offender as unaware of right and wrong. Rather, it suggests that many offenders understand social rules but feel exempt from them. This distinction matters because it shapes how prevention is framed. If crime is viewed mainly as ignorance, education alone seems sufficient. If crime is viewed as a pattern of choices supported by attitude, then prevention must address entitlement, empathy deficits, impulse control, and respect for boundaries in concrete daily situations. The developmental lens also helps readers interpret recidivism. Without changes in thinking and habits, new environments may offer new opportunities rather than new direction. Lastly, implications for rehabilitation, supervision, and personal boundaries. A practical contribution of the book is its argument that change requires more than insight or external pressure. Rehabilitation must target the thinking errors that justify harm, along with the routines that keep a person committed to lawful behavior. From this viewpoint, effective interventions emphasize accountability, honesty, self-control, and consistent follow-through. Supervision is not simply monitoring, it is structuring consequences and expectations so that choices become clearer and excuses lose power. The book's approach also offers guidance for non-professionals dealing with an offender in their lives. Setting boundaries becomes an ethical necessity, not a lack of compassion. It means distinguishing support from rescue and refusing to participate in rationalizations such as "everyone does it" or "I had no choice." Readers can also apply the lessons to their own decision-making by recognizing small moments where self-justification can grow into larger violations of trust. In work and family contexts, the book encourages focusing on observable behaviors, verifying commitments, and understanding that emotional displays do not equal change. Compared with approaches that center primarily on diagnosis or social reform, this perspective highlights measurable personal practices, telling the truth even when costly, respecting limits without negotiation, and repairing harm through sustained, responsible action. These implications make the book relevant to corrections staff, therapists, educators, and anyone trying to respond to chronic deception or exploitation. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, unsentimental understanding of why some people repeatedly violate rules and hurt others. It is especially valuable for mental health clinicians, probation and correctional staff, law enforcement trainees, educators working with high-risk youth, and family members trying to make sense of chronic lying, manipulation, or reoffending. The main benefit is practical clarity. By emphasizing patterns of thinking, rationalization, and responsibility, the book helps readers interpret behavior without being pulled off course by excuses, charm, or dramatic self-pity. That clarity can improve everyday decisions, such as how to set boundaries, how to evaluate remorse, and how to support change without enabling harm. It can also sharpen professional judgment about risk, compliance, and the difference between motivation and performance. Compared with similar books that lean heavily on either broad social causes or narrow diagnostic labels, this work stands out for its focus on choice, character, and the repeatable mechanics of criminal decision-making. The revised edition remains worth buying because it offers a coherent framework that connects individual attitudes to real-world behavior, providing tools for prevention and intervention rather than only explanation. If you would like to support Stanton E. Samenow, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.